I want to welcome in our good friend, the good doc here. And this topic, we've been doing a lot of talk and discussion last month, month and a half about parenting, good parenting. And part of that is if you have multiple kids around, you know, controlling, at least corralling sibling rivalry. There's a certain amount of it that I didn't have a lot of it growing up because my sister and I were many years apart. And there's two of us. I mean, I was older, but I was better looking, smarter, funnier. So there really wasn't any reason to have a rivalry. I'm kidding. She's all those things. But sometimes when they're really close in age, the bonding is great, and the fights are knockdown, drag out. There's the yin and yang of it. The doc is here this morning. You know what this is all about, don't you?
Well, I certainly do. I see it all the time. And believe it or not, yesterday it. Two situations right in my office of sibling rivalry in terms of issues in the home. So it's really the competition.
I'm not minimalizing it because I know that it gets nasty. It can be very bad and put people on a path to lifelong, you know, just not being close. In fact, outright antagonism. But there are aspects of it that I see that are not always bad. So how do you differentiate between the two?
Well, I think, you know, I just want to give you one other example. I'll be seeing someone today who, due to the effects of sibling rivalry, he and his brother, except for very key family events, have never gotten along. That's how bad their interactions were when they were younger. They're both in their 60s, I might add.
Oh, my goodness.
So there really are some negative effects here. So I think main thing is parents need to model appropriate behavior, okay? They need to be civilized. They need to talk things out. And I also think they need to realize what is normal, average, call it what you will, sibling rivalry. You're always going to have some competition, like you say, who's better looking, who is going to be, you know, jealous of one or the other, who gets better grades, who's being treated, quote, fairly. These are all things that you're going to run into. But it's up to the parents to be distinguishing what is really critical and not critical, and really set some rules and try to, as kids are growing up, having them be working on dual projects, having them working on things that really relate to, you know, pulling them together. And if you're talking about a toddler and you're talking about having a baby, you as the parent, in this case mainly be the mother, we'd say, who's having the child in terms of bringing the baby over to touch the baby in terms of, you know, inside the mother, and talk about how important that the toddler's going to be with the baby coming, and have the toddler really be involved in the process and not focus on what he or she is losing, but focusing on something being, you know, added to the home. But again, I think that parents have to set clear limits, and they have to have family meetings. Can be helpful if things, you know, get out of control.
Sure.
Because a family laughs, cries, eats, prays together, and they need rituals. And if we allow the fighting and the severe breaking out that can occur, then it can be even dangerous, and people can really get hurt. And this is when you really do need to get some outside, you know, support. So on the one hand, sibling rivalry is typical, but there have to be limits, and parents really do have to really work at having control and developing team efforts where each child can really look up to and support and help the other one.
Well, and here's something, too. I remember watching this growing up. Kids look at you and your adult siblings and take a cue there, too. Now, my mom's family, you know, five of them, Italian family, look, there were rows with her older sister, especially after her mom died, my grandmother, and with her brothers, and they would, you know, it's at times it could get rough, but then they would make up, and then it was like the emotional makeup, and there were, it was like the tide, it was in and out, but it was real, and you pay attention to that. Kids are watching that too, aren't they? And they're taking notes.
Kids observe.
Because I did.
No. In fact, you're observing and mentioning, and I came from the same kind of a family, so I certainly saw these run-ins and things that can occur.
Yeah.
But that's part of the human experience, people disagreeing, arguing. And in families, you can be unreasonable where you really can't be in other parts, other relationships, if you will. Not that makes it appropriate. But again, back on the sibling, it's really important to realize that this is the first experience, generally, that a person's going to have with interacting with others. How do you get along with your brother, your sister, particularly if they're relatively close in age? So if parents organize it and set things up right, and taking into account the definite personality differences that kids can have, but it can be a great experience. But I will guarantee you, I don't care who you are, the master parents, if you will, sibling rivalry is there and always will be. It's more containing it, controlling it, channeling it, versus that you're going to get rid of it.
What about ensuring, too, that you're doling out your affections and attentions equally? Because that can spark rivalry among siblings, thinking, well, it's the old line, mom loved you better. No, she didn't. Yes, you know, back and forth. I mean, there's some reality to that, too.
I think it's really critical that parents look beyond who they might get along with the best. You know, certain personalities mesh better, but as a parent, we need to get alone time at times. We need to do things with each of the children and really let each of them think that they are really important, which they are, by the way. You don't want someone to really feel that they're being treated, you know, unfairly. You know, someone may need more attention in a particular time if there are more problems going on in their life. But as a whole, each person needs to know they have a special place in the home and that each parent is going to be making sure of that and spending time with them. And that's what effective parents do. We all know kids that feel they were neglected, overlooked, that they were the second or third person, not really treated the same way. So I think in modern parenting, parents are more aware of this, but it really is critical that we make that a point so each child feels special, and they are special within the family unit.
And sometimes you're visiting with young people and maybe older people who've carried this for a while who look back and say, I wasn't treated. But it isn't always necessarily so. Sometimes doesn't, Doc, perception become reality to people?
Well, that's true. The only thing, though, there are some relationships that were pretty hideous and horrible when you hear about them, and the parents just kind of figure, well, that's what siblings do. I think it's like most things. We can tell when something goes beyond just the normal sibling rivalry, who's better looking, who can play basketball better. But when we start getting into self-esteem attack, bad name calling, hitting, punching, controlling, then we're getting into bitter situations that can lead to lifelong estrangement and can also lead to getting even as the person gets bigger. So the goal really has to be to have kids learn how to fight fair, compete fairly. But again, it's doing things as a family and getting projects that kids can work on to build, trying to find ways to have each sibling see the good in the other and noticing that this takes some parenting and some things to really work with. And a lot of parents just don't think about this. They just kind of say, oh, well, that's what kids do at that age. And within reason, it's true, but parents have to take the lead and make sure that there is sanity and there's good behavior. And this is where I think praying together, crying together, eating together, doing trips together, building the family unity and building it within a love and respect for each person really does become more than just some type of a statement. It becomes an important method to be using to build good family relationships.
And it's okay for me, though, to turn the other cheek when I hear, I'm sick of you using my nail polish. Well, I'm sick of you wearing my sweater. And when I go, you guys sort that out. I'm okay, though, right?
Well, no, I think that's what you call, those are typical things that happen,
Exactly right. Yeah, that is different. And those are the mundane and the everyday. Don't let them roll into something bigger and snowball with real sibling rivalry. Because, you know, as I've told my sister, we're flesh and blood. It's us versus the world some days. That's our old line. It's you and me versus the world. And at times, it seemed like it. It may not be true, but it seems like it. And if you've got somebody to lean on like that through the years, it's a pretty good thing. I really think it's a pretty good thing.
Listen, I completely agree. And one little technique that we found with our kids, who are pretty close in age, was the odd even on television. We had a big TV and a small TV, and they went odd even. I know it sounds kind of funny that one would have it on the even day, one would have it on the odd day. And these were small little things. And in the car, who would choose where they were going to sit in the old minivans?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that was
they had the odd, even day. So there are techniques that parents can use that can try to get the kids to get involved with making their own decisions, because sometimes kids fight over the exact same thing. So as parents, we need to get in there and try to find techniques and strategies, the old family meeting, trying to resolve these things.
The podcast can be found, as always, at drjohnb.com. It'll be up there very shortly. We've been talking about parenting here on The Morning Wake-Up, and always good to take these tips with you. Regional Psychological Services, you can find them in East Lansing, where he's been practicing for a good long time now. I think he's got it pretty close to perfect. There's no such thing. You just got to get close. Our good friend, Dr. John Bracci. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
Same to you, my friend.